I went to a group of sixth formers on Monday in St. Joseph's School, and I'm standing there in front of these sixth formers, and they want to know about the journey, the places I've been, issue of human trafficking. I wrapped that up around and why I've become involved in human trafficking. The teacher who was there is a friend of ours and a Christian, so I'm standing in front of these in the auditorium, and I feel coming out of this cold. So we had a talk and a discussion and a chat with folks. So we had this chat, and this time, a lot of these folks are not talkative. Well, it's 8:40 in the morning, 8:50 in the morning. Who's going to be talking at 8:50 in the morning? But one of them says, so why did you become, why did you follow this way? So I share about my faith, I share about why my faith linked into my engineering, linked into who I was, my walk with Jesus, and how that impacted then where I went and what I did, and why my heart was for the poor, the marginalized, and why I then decided to walk away from finance and money and walk a we. After I'd been in civil engineering and been doing that, we got married, and we then decided to use our gifts and skills for the poor and the marginalized, where there's a need for justice. And I got an email on Wednesday. And the teacher said, thank you very much for your passion and your story. I've got a girl now who wants to live their life differently, who wants to engage more in the world. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes we think we can, because I hate to tell you, we like the I's dotted and the T's crossed. We've been through experiences where we are right. But we've sung about who knows the end from the beginning. And what we see is in part. A little bit. Talked about this iceberg. We see the top of the iceberg. We may see a huge chunk of the iceberg. The situation, the person before us, not realizing that under the water, there's way more story. Way more story that we're not aware of. And I want to think about that as we talk about gifting. I'm not going to talk a lot about the actual gifts this morning. That's kind of, we roll through. I want to do a bit of a preamble. You know, we've been discussing about gifts, how God releases them through us to bless people, to tell the story of his kingdom. So people think, how did that happen? What was that? And they want to know more. A gentleman friend of mine who was a business person, this was in India, and he went up to see a government official, and he needed, he wasn't going, I've told you a story before, but it's only went up for a business certificate. This wasn't the same person. He went up to this government official, and he did need to get, so he was checking whether the charity he was involved with could become recognised. And the guy was saying, no, that's not going to happen. And while he was sitting there, the Lord said to him, tell him his son's going to be okay. I can't say that. This is a senior government official, and I'm a nobody. I can't. So he carried on a conversation to tell him. I can't say that. Third time, three times, the Lord gave this person. And eventually, the guy said, so you look, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I believe in God, I'm a follower of Christ, and I want, I think the Lord is telling me that your son is going to be okay. Everything changed. Because the guy's son was in difficulty. So the whole thing about, you know, recognition of charities, that out the window. Then they were talking on a deep relational level. And their relationship carried on. And actually his son was alright. But it formed a relationship which carried on. It wasn't easy to tick the box. That guy then, my friend, was then engaging heavily with this a significant Hindu fundamentalist on a deeper level, and he's living Christ out in his life. That God gives gifts is undeniable. If you want some scriptures, it's mentioned in Matthew and Luke. In Matthew it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. But this sums up the law of the prophets. And I'm saying this because sometimes people can say, well, aren't there gifts? Maybe such and such as gifts. I haven't got gifts. What we're clarifying is God gives gifts to his people. In Romans 12, for it is by grace given to me that I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself and so with judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Hebrews 2, we must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. You run down, it says, for since the message spoken to angels was binding and every violation of disobedience received is just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God gives gifts so people will see the reality of his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Sorry? Build up the church, i.e. people. You mean not build up me and my ministry? I think there must be a misreading there somewhere. No. It's building up the church. Gifts are so that people outside can see the reality of the kingdom of God, but they are also so that we will be built up in realizing the power and presence, the love and grace of the kingdom of God. He's trying to get him easier. The other one is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I encourage you to read that. With the gifts, depending on which teacher you read, they can be between 20 and 27 gifts in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible. Peter Wagner has 27 in his Finding Your Gifts questionnaire. There was one survey that was undertaken amongst Christians, or 72 Christians, and they were asked about gifting. Only 15 answered with what considered to be a valid name for a spiritual gift from the Bible. 22 gave no answer at all. 28 listed a gift by a term the Bible didn't list. Then he listed the fruits of the Spirit, which are given to all followers of Christ. Which are given to all followers of Christ. Not someone who stand up here, who play the piano, who are out in the streets, or whatever, given to all followers of Christ. But do you know what your gift is? Do you know what it is that you desire? What kind of sits inside you? Well, we'll go through this process, hopefully, and as we'll kind of explore this, we'll kind of get to know a little bit more. Gifting is a developmental process. There's a growing in gifting. I believe there's a growing in gifting, but I also believe God pours his gifts in for a specific situation, as he wishes each one of us to speak into someone's life. So a prophetic word can come as you talk with someone. That gift of healing can come. It's not that that person is the healer. God can pour his healing for that situation, for his kingdom to be known. Now, we have various physical and acquired attributes. I'm 6 foot something, getting a bit smaller as I get older, 6 foot something. I am quite vocal, but I bet you never knew that actually there was one time when I would never say hoo to hoo. I was shy, quiet, cheerful, really. The Lord took me through various places where I made a fool of myself. And as I made a fool of myself, there was one time I may have told you where I went into this, I was trying to impress a couple of young ladies, this was before I met Lindsay. And I went in, it was in India, and I went in and met the parents of missionaries, conservative missionaries, and I thought, oh, God, this is my best year here. So I walk in, I've been playing football, not the ball, put the ball down by the piano, and I've, you know, fairly got stronger and then, and I lifted my head and I hit the piano. And the piano shook, because I give it a good old whack. And on the other end of the piano, there are these cut glass wine glasses, and they're rocking back and forth. This is really going to be a good impression. So I launched myself across the piano stool, dropped myself on the piano stool. As they fall over, I grab them and pull them to my body, and then drop onto my back, onto the floor. I turn around and the room is full of people in suits, nice dresses and everything else. Well, the ground didn't open up and swallow me as I wish it had. They smiled and suddenly they started talking to each other. And I thought, you know, it's not such a big thing. And those processes took me away from being shy, realizing actually we're all as shy as each other. So we can talk to each other because we're all feel similar in those situations. The reason I'm saying that is because God pours His gifts into abilities into us. Doesn't matter who we are or what we look like or what our limitations are. So have you heard of a guy called Nick Vujicic?
Oh.
If nothing else, I am glad you go and see the YouTube
of Nick Vujicic. Nope.
This is Nick Vujicic. Now you know him, eh? Now you know him. Yes, now you know him. Those who don't, go check him out. He's an Australian. He's born with tetraamelia syndrome. It's a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. He's one of only 7 known individuals who are diagnosed with this syndrome. He's been bullied. He's gone through depression. My son heard him in school in Pasadena, the church in Pasadena, and he was, it was a school, was it?
It was in a state school, and there'd be a table, and
he'd be going across the table, moving across the table, back and forth, and he'd get to the end of the table as if he's going to fall over, and all the kids would go forward as if they're going to catch him. He was perfect, he knew what he was doing. Phenomenal evangelist. The gifts that the Lord has poured through this man and his family. A couple of key factors enabling Nick Vujicic to reach beyond his physical boundaries was the presence of God's Spirit and the gifts he had given, but also a community of people who were for him, who encouraged him in his gifting, who supported him and enabled him to chase after the dreams and hopes that God had given him. An early voice of encouragement was another pastor. Nope. Was another evangelist. Nope. An early encouragement for Nick was a caretaker in the school he went to. Nick was being bullied, and a caretaker encouraged him to speak to groups of young people and get engaged in public speaking. He took off. I really encourage you, if nothing, you forget what I said, check out Nick Vujicic and some of his videos. He has developed a ministry that works for people who are limited, like without limbs, and a motivational speaking company called Attitude and Altitude. The Lord pours His gifts in us. Our physical, mental, intellectual abilities are not hampered, because God can pour those and actually raise those to be instruments and tools. Lindsay and I have seen in various places that we've gone to where encouragement has been given, gifts have developed. So one of the things we're going to look at here and for us to think about is, are we a community willing to encourage gifts? Are we a community willing to encourage gifts and help people go on rather than judge and condemn? You know, Jesus tells us in Scripture, or we're told in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians, it says, encourage one another. It's one of Paul and one of the final things. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, and 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Hebrews. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Remember what episode of sin? Sin is where we miss what God wants us to do. And sin's deceitfulness is saying it's okay to live, not trying to go for what God wants you to do. We may think, never judge. I wouldn't judge. I wouldn't condemn. We need to know it's a mindset that's not far away from all of us. Because the devil is looking to bring deception, confusion into our lives. When Jesus, who was the epitome of the reality of the kingdom, walked on this planet, people judged him. He was with tax collectors, sex workers, and prostitutes. Pharaoh said to himself, whoa, if you're involved in that, you can't be from God. We were part of an organization in Mumbai, as many of you know, and part of the, I was connected to it, but they started a drop-in center for sex workers in brothels in the red light area, 100,000 prostitutes. We look back at that and now and say, oh, fantastic. At the time, we were judged. We were judged by the Christians. They felt we supporting sex workers. They didn't know about the relationship that God had opened up for us. The heart, the burden, the compassion and vision that God had given. They judge us against their limited understanding. You know, when God releases his gifts, the devil wants to move into judgment. We're going to say, I'm moving into encouragement. We need to be careful not to judge or condemn people. In John, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world. In his book, this is a story I like, in his book, The Half Truths by Adam Hamilton, he's an author and a pastor of a growing church. He talks about an interview that Billy Graham's eldest daughter, Gigi, did. She was with her father, she was her father's date to Time magazine's 75th anniversary party. So she was with Billy Graham. It was in Washington, D.C., and President Clinton, Bill Clinton, spoke at the event. He had just been impeached by the House of Representatives for perjury and obstruction of justice. The charge of perjury involved what President Clinton said under oath about his relationship, remember, with the White House intern Monica Lewinsky. At the banquet, Billy Graham sat next to Bill Clinton. And this is Clinton. Billy Graham was warm and gracious to them. After the dinner ended and Graham and Gigi were riding back to their hotel to discuss difficulties the President and First Lady were going through, so many people gossiping and judging. Gigi said, Billy Graham was brought thousands, millions to know of, would be involved in so many evangelistic outreach and met with so many presidents. Gigi said, her father's simple comment was, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. It's our job to love. Now, the interesting thing is, Billy Graham then became a counselor for Bill Clinton. And in their intimate relationships, he was able to speak other aspects of the reality of the kingdom. Not outside, hurling in, but actually walking alongside, side by side. And God opened that up after he'd been there. We're told by Scripture that the role of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is to convict and judge, not us. God has a far greater understanding of a person's life. As God pours out His gifting upon us, what's our attitude going to be? 1 Corinthians 12, we are told we are one body and need each other. We need to encourage each other.
It's that encouraging of each other. But again,
folks can say, well, I'm not, as long as God pours His gifts out, I'm not going to judge. So these are some of the gifts that I've talked about in the Bible. And we can discuss various bits and pieces. So, leadership. Suddenly a leader comes up and says, I want to have a chat. An accountability relationship. We can think, oh, I'm not going to do that. Or a leader can judge. A prophecy, a word is given, which we don't like. That can't be of God. We talk about giving, and here we talk about voluntary poverty. Oh no. Don't know about that. Sounds good, but if you're asking me to be poor, that's not. I don't think of that. And you may think that's not the case. Lindsay and I have been judged a number of times. We took a decision to step away from civil engineering, to step away from nursing, and to walk in that way. So we don't have any pensions. There are Christians out there who judge us as being stupid because we do not have that kind of cushion. They only know a little bit. Each of these things are for the blessing and for the help of the church. They are for the community to see the reality of the kingdom of God. But if we're not careful, they can be used to pull down. So our attitude, as we move into this place where God pours more of His gifting, and He wants to pour more of His gifting, is our attitude one of encouraging, of building up? Someone brings a teaching that we don't like. Well, that's not of God. We would be foolish people if we thought that the devil didn't want to bring deceit and deception into our lives. I mean, I've used it before, and I'll use it this time. I love the story in John 8, where there's the woman who is brought in adultery before Jesus. I think the Lord asked me to use this one for us, so I'll read it and we'll see. Because the religious leaders wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to trap the Lord. Because they didn't believe He was from God. They didn't believe what He was saying was correct. And they also believed that He was impacting their ministry. Their power base. So Jesus ate. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him and He sat down to teach. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? And it says they were using this question to trap Him in order to have a basis of accusing Him of not being a follower of God. Not understanding the ways of God. To kind of undermine and pull the rug out from what He was doing. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, Let any of you who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone at them. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at them. Again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. Therefore, neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go now and leave your life of sin. The night before, the religious leaders had sent troops to go and grab Jesus. And they returned, saying to the religious leaders, No one has spoken like this on death. What? I said a good sermon. I've spoken. I'm a well-known leader. I hear from God. But even the guards could see there was something different. But the religious leaders decided to trip him up and track him, to wreck his teaching, show that they knew better, that they had a better understanding of Scripture. These are some of the tools that the devil uses when gifts are released in a community. Actually, what you're doing is not right. I know better than you. I have a better understanding of Scripture than you do. We've got to be very careful when the devil impacts us to bring confusion, when we use words to pull people down rather than build them up. Encourage. Yes, there's accountability. But there's accountability in loving relationships, not in pointing a finger. In fact, in Psalms it says, do away with the pointing finger. So Jesus is teaching. They come along. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, how many times have we heard that word? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, you're wrong. We got to be wise so that we are discerning, not judging, but we're encouraging, not condemning. God releases his gifts through us. It's imperative that we are encouraging. For as we are encouraging, God pours more of the presence of his Holy Spirit, connects relationships which we could not have connected. There was one time where we, did a fashion show. And it was for the girls who would be rescued from trafficking. Suddenly it went huge. It went really big. So Elle magazine, all these kind of fashion magazines, they all joined the board. We had Indian stars coming, it all suddenly went huge. And then we had BJP politicians coming along, and we're thinking, this is just getting out of hand. We had pastors who were really, really concerned in the city about the way this was going. Some of the pastors came, and they were sitting with BJP officials, and they were really, really worried. The Shiv Sena are violently fundamentalist, and they were part of this auditorium. So the fashion shows came along, and some of the stuff with the Elle magazine and various other things, they were really way out there, way out there. And then,
Not saris.
These were kind of, you think of it, what you see in Cosmopolitan and Elle magazine in the UK, these were some of the dresses that were being shown there. And then Jacob's Well came along, and they were very respectful. Yes, they had saris, but the girls from the streets, the designers, they were fashionable, but they were sensitive to the Indian culture. It was an encouraging viewpoint they were given. I think the fundamentalists and the Shiv Sena politicians, they hated what had gone before, and they saw what was happening with this group. It was like night and day. They were offering to give land, buildings, to these girls. Because there was encouragement that the girls and the organization, they were encouraging. We weren't trying to rip down, they were encouraging. And actually, pastors then in the city were able to build relationships with the BJP. It's a difficult relationship because of the fundamentalist nature of the BJP government. But we need to be encouraging. We need to be a supportive community. John says, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. Whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. We're all sinners. We're saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we know the Lord wants us to live according to his will. And there's this falling down we do. So we can think of adultery. When you talk about adultery, that's really bad. Adultery, that's the worst sin. We know that lying is. We know that gossip, anger, doubt, selfish ambition, greed. Adultery is any bigger than those. There's no levels of different sin. Sin is sin, falling away from following God. We need to be careful. We need to walk in the ways the Lord calls us to, but we need to be encouraging people. There is accountability. Accountability comes out of a loving relationship. 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. It doesn't talk about being right, it talks about love. In Romans 14, Paul was certain about eating food and the food before idols. He had made up his mind, this is the way I believe it should be. And then what does he say? He was fully convinced, but he did not allow his opinion and understanding to cause conflict in the church or become a stumbling block for others. Paul, in Romans 14, talks about accepting each other. He mentions this twice in that chapter. He talks about not quarreling over disputable matters. Paul says, who are we to judge someone else's servant? To their own master they stand. God's servant will stand or fall before God. In this chapter, he also states, do not treat people with contempt. Do not judge people. Who are we to judge? We do not live for ourselves. We live for the Lord. Stop passing judgment. Make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Bear with one another. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. As the Lord pours his gifts, and we desire, yearn after these gifts, are we an encouraging community that will help people grow and develop in their gifting? For we need to realize, I don't know if any of you follow the old, I think it's still going actually, there's a ministry called Freedom in Christ. And Freedom in Christ has these various lists from Scripture. And I found it the other day. And I just thought it'd be nice for us to think about. And I'm going to finish on this. So just mull it over as I speak out some of these words. That we are encouraging for others. We are encouraging for others. For we really need to realize that those who follow Christ, and what we cannot do is say whether someone else is a Christian or not if we do not know them. That is dangerous. Because that's sometimes what we do for. Yeah, they can't really be a Christian. Got to be careful of those words. For those who follow Christ, they're accepted. They're God's children. They're Christ's friends. They've been justified. 1 Corinthians, they're united with the Lord and one in spirit with him. They've been bought with a price and belong to God. They're members of Christ's body. They've been adopted as God's children. They have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. They have been redeemed and forgiven of all their sins. They are complete in Christ. Who are we to judge? For those who follow Christ, they are secure. They are free from condemnation. They can be assured that all things work together for good. They are free from any condemning charge. They cannot be separated from the love of God. They've been established and anointed and sealed. They're citizens of heaven. They can find grace and mercy to help them in their time of need. So who are we to judge? They're significant. They're the salt and light of the earth. They're a branch of the true vine. All of these are scripture verses. They have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. They're personal witnesses for Christ. They're God's temple. They're God's fellow workers. They're God's workmanship. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They can approach God with freedom and confidence. So who are we to judge? Yes, there are accountable relationships. Often those accountable relationships come out of deep personal relationships rather than looking at someone on the other end. I found it funny that the Lord in, Matthew, he says, this is an accountable kind of relationship with Matthew, Jesus says, but if they will not listen, take one or two others, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, to tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. How does Jesus treat a pagan and a tax collector? He was chastised by the leaders because he was friends of pagans and tax collectors and sinners. I think there's a bit of a humor with Jesus. But what he's saying is there is a personal relationship where accountability happens. In this church, there will be personal relationships where accountability happens. We have a leadership team. There's a management team. There will be small groups. There will be accountability. And sometimes we have to leave that over to those people who are involved in that, rather than thinking we're going to make a judgment on it. Let's pray. Let's think, mull over for yourselves. What gifts would you like? What would you be free? Are you able to encourage people in what they do? And encourage them in who they are, not what you would like them to be. We've been in communities where there's been encouragement and love. Yes, there's been challenge and all sorts of other stuff that's been going on, but the way the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been released have been supernatural and built up the church, built up the body of believers to impact a city. I'm going to pass over to Liz with worship. Let's take some time and maybe just keep resting God. Ask the Holy Spirit, please. Take some time and ask for the release of the gifts in your life. Ask for the encouragement. The gift of the encouragement we would lift and bless other people. Not that we keep it within these four walls, but actually they would make a significant impact in the community and the town. For we know there are many people who are lost and lonely. Serving. Discernment. Bringing life into people's difficult situations. Hospitality. That's what it means. Did you see what I put there? Did you have a clicker? Let me do, I'm going to pray. Pass you over. Father, you're the one who gives us gifts. We don't take them. You're the one who gives them to us. Yeah, we can seek and ask you for them. And Lord, our lives are yours to do it as you would see fit, so that you would be glorified. May you release the gifts of the kingdom through us, so people would taste and see how good your Son, Jesus Christ, is. That they come under the counsel of the Holy Spirit. That they would see a loving Father who cares for them now and will care for them in eternity. Father God, help and guide us, I pray. From the youngest to the oldest, will you speak to children as you do that? Guide and lead us, I pray. Thank you.